What happened here? Oh, I just took a fucking cock to the mouth like you wouldn't believe.
You know, that's an interesting point because...
What?
You
know, how does that bring up an interesting point?
No, hear me out, hear me out.
Have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the trisexuals.
Welcome, Sexplorers, to this super sexy, swinging, special, spectacular, super sapphire edition, super duper, awesome swinging edition of the podcast.
That is the most amount of S's I've ever heard in one sentence.
So? Why are you staring at me like that?
I'm trying to decide if I want to kiss you, kill you, or hit you with a dildo.
Yeah, but that's pretty much normal. That's pretty much a... average day in the life of
Willie.
I guess
I'll just have to go with a freaking...
Oh. Well, Sexplorers, we are here and we are talking today about the magical world of swinging. And what's actually so magical about this is in fact where Lily and I got our start down this sex-positive world. If we never started in swinging, there's a good chance that we wouldn't be here right now.
You wouldn't listen to us, you would miss our little voices, in your ears.
Believe it or not, approximately 7 years ago, Lily and I were hardly into fantasy sex toys at all. Mm-hmm. We knew nothing about BDSM. We knew very little about fetish. We had done maybe silly little things like, woohoo, I got a blindfold and look at fuzzy handcuffs.
Ooh, I got a flogger. Remember the very first flogger?
Yeah, we did pick up a flogger before this time, but we didn't use it. We thought that hitting was kind of wrong. I guess I'm not sure why we picked it up. Maybe there was like an inherent like interest in it. But anyway, we picked up a flogger a few years before that. But yes, until this point, we were regular, vanilla, extremely monogamous. I mean, extremely monogamous.
Yeah, I was a psycho.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily the case. But, we were early in our relationship. So 7 years ago, we were what? How long into our relationship?
4 or 5 years? Wait. We're at 13
minus 7.
Is 8. No, 6.
All right. So about halfway through our relationship then to this point. But yeah, we've been together 6 years and we had bought a house and we were on track to be the absolutely normal, Dick and Jane on the street. And, in a way we were gearing up to probably have a family, even though it wasn't, imagine that. But that's just kind of like, we were on autopilot at that time. We were just like, things were going good in our jobs and we got the house. We had a 4-bedroom house of all things in a nice little quiet neighborhood.
I cannot believe we listened to our families.
Well, a lot of our families and even the people selling us the house said, this is what you guys want to do. You guys are going to want to settle down. Like, you're done with like that young, crazy stuff. And can you believe this? 7 years ago, we were told that we were going to be settling down and we kind of bought into it. We're like, these people are, our seniors, and they probably understand what's going to happen a little bit more than we do. So we just trusted them that was going to happen. But after about 3 years in that house, which we love the house, it's a really nice house.
I still love the house.
After about 3 years in that house, we just realized that dream wasn't our dream. We were starting to lose our goddamn minds.
And we would lose each other, like literally lose each other in that house.
Yeah. Lily, where are you?
And I'd be like, Max! Because they also had a huge basement. I mean, it was just... it wasn't us. And we noticed this from when, we kept trying to get into more extreme, different parts of our lives. Like, we got involved in this running group thinking, this would be,
No matter what, we always start doing, we would start doing things that were just like a little bit different. We'll talk about the running group in just a minute. But like tried to start like the social group. Remember that?
The collectives.
And that was totally safe for work, adult group for people that wanted to like hang out and do things. And actually that was kind of the build up to trisexuals in a way when you think about it, because the whole idea of like, hey, we're an adult group of people that actually want to go and do things like, hey, let's all go to the movie theater and let's all go to see roller skating or
roller derby
or whatever. And that's kind of like, you know, that's not inappropriate by any means, but it is kind of like not the natural course of our culture. Once you reach a certain age, it's kind of not hip anymore to have friends, apparently, unless they're just like your neighbors and you do like little camping trips or something like that. Or it's like
your friends have kids, you have kids, you do play dates, that kind of thing. Yeah, you're
supposed to be like firmly well established. So we had started this group and actually met with quite a bit of success back where we lived of just like, hey, you know, we're just people that want to do things. We're still kids at heart. Let's like keep doing things. We ended up doing caving. We made so many friends. We're still friends with all those people. They're amazing, amazing people. And in a way, I want to try to steer trisexuals in that direction as well. You know, not everything has to be about sex. Shock.
Holy crap. Wait. Stop the presses. Holy shit.
But, you know, I'd like to see us doing more things, like, especially the people that are local to Denver. Let's go out and do movies. Like, let's do meetups. Let's just, like, hang out.
Let's go to the mountains and go for hikes.
Yeah, we're like-minded people. We don't have to always have sex together. But, you know, if sex finds its way into the meetups, then great.
And I think you touched on something. It's like, back then, we were looking for...
something.
And it wasn't anything wrong with our relationship. We didn't, you know, we were very solid. It was, we were looking for something that we were missing.
Yeah, we didn't know what it was. So one thing that, actually, I had ended up coming across this subculture before I met Lily, a little bit. And it's called hashing. The Hash House Harriers. So this is, if you don't know what this is, it's, prepare to have your mind blown. So it's kind of this strange thing. They bill themselves as a drinking group with a running problem. And the whole idea is they send out someone who's called the hare, or yeah, multiple people, and they carry flour or a little bit of toilet paper or something like that, and they set a trail, usually through terrain that you don't normally want to run through, right? Like, they'll go through prickers. They'll go through streams. You have to, like, sometimes climb the face of a small waterfall or something. Nothing too dangerous, and there's always a way around it. But the whole point is that as all the runners, the hounds, you try to follow this trail. It's a lot of fun.
Oh my God, so much fun.
There's a whole drinking component to it.
Which you don't have to drink.
You don't have to drink, but it's definitely ingrained into the culture. There's things called beer nears, where, you know, a long thing, you'll see like a BN written out on the ground, and then somewhere around is beer, and then everyone stops there and drinks. There's things called checks, like it's a, well, depending on the marks that they use, we're not going to get into the politics of that, but the ones that we're most familiar with is a circle as a check, right? That's what we do. Circle is a check. That's the true check.
Yeah, that's a true check.
And when you get to the circle, the trail can go in any direction.
Even up.
Including up, like climbing a tree or something like that. But what's great is all these things are actually built to keep the fast runners slowed down with the slow runners, and the slow runners keeping up with them. And in fact, they'll even have turkey eagle splits, which will...
Tough easy.
Well, you don't need to confuse people on the podcast.
Sorry.
But, you know, the turkeys will be the slower people, and it'll be a shorter, easier trail, and then the eagle trail will be a longer trail. And so the idea is, like, we're all just here having fun together, and it has kind of a bit of, like...
It has pack mentality,
but it's a bit like, what's that shit when you join, like, a fraternity. Yeah, it kind of has some of that without, like, the negative stuff. There's no, like, hazing and that sort of thing going on. But people get names, and it's kind of, it's definitely a subculture in which, you know, people kind of live this day in and day out for a lot of it. You know, like, they're just looking forward to doing the next hash, to have weekends, that sort of thing. But you get, like, names. You actually have to earn your name. You can't give yourself a name. It's much like hacker culture in that way. And in case you're curious, my name was Manahor.
And mine is Crimes Against Huge Mammaries.
So not very PG, and especially when you consider how Lily got her name. She actually had a breast reduction, right? So this is something that in fetish culture, you know, you wouldn't, in BDSM culture, you wouldn't really want to draw attention to the fact that somebody had a breast reduction and call it a crime or anything like that. But in hashing, it's all like...
It's fine. It's what's that? Cheek and...
Yeah, tongue in cheek. It's very
tongue in cheek.
Yeah, there's no, like, if you're easily offended, you can't be part of the hashers. That's pretty much what it's down to. And I actually kind of like that culture. The drinking culture, wasn't necessarily our favorite, but we can get to that in a little bit. But yeah, crimes against humanity, huge memories because she ended up having breast reduction. In my case, man of horror, because I actually, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I actually, when I was very young, had a jellyfish sting my shaft. My actual penis. So I actually have a scar on my penis from where the jellyfish stung me. Kind of a painful experience, but man of horror, right? Like, because it's like the man of war jellyfish. So it's just fun stuff like that. So that's pretty much hashing in a nutshell. Now, what does this all have to do with swinging? So after we've been involved in hashing for a few years.
At least 4 or 5 years at that point. And there's different weekends and different events that you go to. And this one, it was over the course of like a weekend up in, at that point, it was like the Appalachian, not Appalachian, where was it? Adirondacks.
We were down by that Pennsylvania thing. Well, anyway, a place like deep in the woods.
And you have each up, because it was middle winter, everybody has cabins. And we decided to be in a cabin with the rest of our group from the town that we are from.
Yes.
And so, you know, in this cabin, there are multiple beds, cots, whatever.
But all in the same room.
Yes. Well, there are two rooms.
Two rooms, whatever. Like, so this was kind of the first time that Lily and I as adults would be sleeping in a room with other adults, right?
Yeah, other than like a hotel, maybe.
But I never did that until that after that point. Did you? Like, that was kind of an unusual thing. But in this case, I thought they were joking around at first. They're like, let's just push all the cots, beds, whatever, together. They're all the same height. And we could just have like a big, like, sleeping pile. And at first I thought they were kind of kidding.
But then they did. So then after one of the runs, and after a run, you're exhausted. You just want to take a really long nap. I feel so good, though. So we all go in, and everybody pretty much passes the F out. We are so fucking tired. And Max wakes me up very gently. He's like, I'm like, what? He's like, they doing what I think they're doing?
So as it turns out, next to us, we had a couple sitting next to us. We're not going to give anyone names in this scenario. It was a couple that we, you know, were good friends with. We knew them very well.
We actually ended up going to their wedding years later.
That's right. That's right. That was an awesome wedding. And they had invited a third person into their bed. And they were doing some fooling around next to us. Now, this is something that blew our minds. We'd never seen or experienced this. Up until this point, I thought that threesomes were kind of a myth. I didn't think that people actually participated in threesomes. This was 7 years ago, folks. Look at where I am now.
I can't even imagine, like, well, I mean, I can imagine, but trying to put myself back into that mentality of, like, what it was going through my mind. I was just flabbergasted. I was like, what in the hell? You know, is this normal? Is this not normal? What should we be doing? Should we stop it? Should we join it? I had all these crazy thoughts.
You did not think about joining in at that time.
No.
But I was like, we ended up, I think, leaving the room, and Lily was not taking it very well. And we were, you know, we went over to where the bathrooms were because it was a warm place for us to talk. And we had a long conversation there. Then I think we ended up in the car so we could turn on the heat. And we were talking in there. And, you know, it was just really upsetting to Lily. She was feeling very much like, why are they, like, cheating on each other? And, like, you know, just totally not, like, understanding what this was all about.
I was freaking out because in my world, basically my world had just shattered.
Yeah.
It was...
I didn't understand what was going on. So, long story short, we ended up talking like this for a while, trying to, like, keep things cool. Then, eventually...
We just left.
Well, yeah, Lily tells me she wants to go home. So I end up driving, gosh, I think it was like four hours or something like night. That, home in the middle of the night. Like, people were worried why we disappeared. And, you know, I told her, like, I understand that this was kind of a, you know, shocking experience and kind of strange for us. We don't have to return to hashing if you don't want to. We don't have to go back to the running group. We don't, you know, everything is fine. We still have each other. Everything's great. You know, can you believe the spiral that this put us into? It's crazy to think.
So then, you know, I'm like, okay. And then over the next few weeks, because I'm crazy, I sit and I'm thinking and overthinking and rethinking and overthinking and just, I can't get this scenario out of my head. It won't leave. No matter what I do, it won't leave. So I go up to Max's office in our house, and I was like, Max, I need to talk to you.
It's all right, honey. I know that this is, you know, probably about that thing that happened a few weeks ago, and it's fine. We don't have to go hashing again.
No, you don't understand. I think the reason it upset me is I think it turned me on.
What?
And that's basically where we started with swinging is after, you know, a few weeks of thinking about it, realized that the reason it was so upsetting is because it actually did turn me on. And I didn't know at that point how to deal with those feelings. I didn't know that it was okay.
Well, for somebody that was, you know, had, for lack of a better term, like bought into monogamy fully, right? Like to suddenly have that happen next to you and be like, whoa, like I have a feeling for this. That's got to be pretty shocking. Like, what does this mean? Am I a cheater? Like, I not want to be with Max, my partner? Like
I was freaking out thinking like, you know, Max is going to want to leave me, you know, because I don't want to be with, you know, does this mean I don't want to be with him? Does this mean like all this stuff? It was crazy.
So after she comes to me with how turned on this made her, I like go into full Max mode, which means that I start like researching, looking into like, what is this? Learning about swinging. I found out about all these different groups and stuff around us. And there was a time of like, kind of like Lily being like, okay, Max, like I'm into it, but take it a little bit easy. But I'm like, yeah, but we should do something about this. Like we should look into it more, like see what's going on. Like at least go to these groups and figure out or and talk to them, see what's going on with that. And I remember we had planned a couple different times to go to swinging events. And probably like five different times, and we would always chicken out last minute. We would never like actually end up going. And then there was one, it was the pool party, mm-hmm. That was up about an hour north from us, I think, something like that. And it's one that we finally decided to go to. And what I had discussed with Lily at the time is like, look, we're going to go here, we're going to get a hotel room for the weekend, it's a pool party, we're going to have a bunch of fun. We don't have to talk to anyone. We don't have to do anything. Let's just kind of go and observe and just see what's going on. And we can sit there and crack jokes about swinging or whatever. It's fine, okay. Honey. Let me worry about the recording.
And if anything, we can just hang out in the hotel.
Yeah, it'd just be a nice little couples weekend. Shit. Yeah, we just hang out inside the hotel room. We don't have to leave if it weirds us out or anything like that. So eventually Lily decided, sure, we'll go along with this. And, you know, so I had it set in my mind that's what we're going to do. No stress because we're not actually going to play or anything like that. Lo and behold, after being there for about 4 hours, we find ourselves in a bedroom with six other people.
Yep, and this leads us into our segment where we have our wonderful friends visiting us this weekend.
Alicia and Paul. So we'll go to that segment after a word from our sponsor. Hey, Sexplorers. I'm really excited to talk to you today about a truly exceptional sex toy shop, Vibrant. Located at bevibrant.com, Vibrant has a commitment to inclusivity with a sex-positive and education-forward approach. As the Trisexuals, we love to recommend Vibrant. We can be sure that each and every toy that they carry is of high quality and is 100% body safe. You simply can't go wrong. Vibrant is also backed by Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains. How cool is that? As fans of the show, you will receive 20% off your order at bevibrant.com. when using the code TRISEXUALS at checkout. That's TRYSEXUALS. That's bevibrant.com. And use the code TRISEXUALS at checkout to get 20% off your body-safe toys. Thank you to Vibrant for supporting the Trisexuals and making the sex-positive world a better place.
Sexplorers, welcome to this very special Afterglow segment. Max and I are here with two of our wonderful friends back in New York, Alicia and Paul. Hi, guys!
Hello!
Hi!
And today, of course, we're talking about swinging, which is kind of like our Lily's and I, it's kind of like our origin story into this whole crazy, sexy world. So I thought we'd maybe talk a little bit about our first time out swinging, our first experience, the first party that we eventually went to. I don't know if we want to go into the history of our story. We could probably do that
in a different
before
part.
And then we can go into this. So at this point in the story, we have now entered the hotel. This was the pool party, right?
Yeah, this was the pool party. I remember I was sitting on a chair. And no one had taken their tops off yet, because it was just right when the time was about to switch to when you could take your tops off. And
yeah, we haven't gotten there yet, I don't think, either.
I don't know. Oh,
you guys weren't at the hotel yet?
Probably not.
Oh, we did get there late, didn't we?
Mm.
Did you? Okay.
This was a while ago.
7 years.
Holy shit, has it been seven years?
Holy shit.
7 years ago, there was no such thing as a Max and Lily chameleon.
7 years ago, there was definitely not our kinky selves.
No.
We've changed quite a bit.
It's my fault.
So, at least partially.
I'm trying to remember. Did you guys make it to the pool park?
Yeah,
we were there.
It was just later.
Because I ended up chatting with you.
That's
Somebody
right.
Somebody had this really fantastic bathing suit, and that's what got us talking, was we complimented.
That's
we
right.
both complimented her bathing suit.
It was
And then we all hung out.
I remember. It was a beautiful bathing suit. It was, like, cut in different ways. It was gorgeous.
Now, remind me, you could be topless at the pool, but you couldn't be bottomless.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It was very interesting with that piece.
Well, state law said you could be topless, so...
Mm. Oh yeah, New York. You can be topless.
And we were outside.
Yeah.
So. So then that night there was the play party. So in swinging, a lot of time with play parties, you get dressed up, you do your makeup, you know, you have dinner beforehand, you go down, there might be a few snacks, there's an open bar usually that's cash.
Dancing.
Bar. lots of dancing, sometimes a stripper pole or two. Now this was even before I even got into pole dancing.
Yeah.
This was
you wouldn't
way
know, don't know what to do
ago.
With the pole.
That is, yeah.
One thing worth mentioning is, you know, different from, like, a lot of the fetish events and stuff that we go to, drinking is actually something that's kind of, in some ways, for better or worse, incorporated into swinging cultures, and there will be, like, drink stuff oftentimes available at play parties and that sort of thing. Just a little bit different from, like, the BDSM and fetish stuff that we talk about.
And it starts really late.
Oh, that's the same with any play party.
All of us are going, are we going to start? Or are we going to go to bed?
Oh,
are we going to start? Or are we going to go to bed?
We've ranted about this before. I always hate, like, this
I
idea.
I don't think we started until after 1 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
We sat there in that hotel room for so long.
You know, this all being our first time at this
and
sort of thing, we were so nervous. We didn't know what to do.
And then another couple, right?
Two other couples.
8 people in that room.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And we were all first-timers.
God, that's what it was.
No
six.
One.
No,
had
there
was eight.
There
did
were
two
eight.
People not play?
No, well, they left and came back.
Oh, that's right. There was 8 of us.
Yeah.
And I remembered. So, Sexplorers, we always bring toys with us. Anywhere
even
Max...
Even this first time.
Yeah, even this first time, Max and I always bring toys with us.
Of course, we didn't have nearly the collection we do now.
We
the
had
toys
like
weren't
a
nearly
few.
So interesting.
Still had like a trunk with you, though.
Well, yeah, one trunk, 10 trunks.
You never
was
know.
Was it your room we were in? I don't
yeah,
know.
It was in our room, okay. Yeah.
I think it was, yeah. Because you don't want to carry the trunk around. That's the thing. So you gotta have people come to us.
I know, and... So we all were just sitting there on the beds, just kind of talking, and we talked a long time about what do we like, what do we not like, what are our rules, because at that time, Max and I had a very strict rule policy of, like...
Yeah, playing in the
same
room but
no,
not...
But no kissing, no sex at all for, like, with other people.
Yeah. No penis and vagina.
Right. Yeah, we had a lot of strict rules, I think, at that time.
Yeah, well, we were just dipping our toe in, and we didn't want to destroy the, you know, relationship that we built at that point, which we were, what, 6 years into our, seven years ago.
Seven, so it's been six. Yeah, we would have been together for 6 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so we were a little bit more cautious. One other thing, again, noted, what was interesting about swinging in this experience in particular, these eight people in the room, if I recall correctly, we all tend to be pretty young, whereas swinging, and at least that party in general, was like much older. Yeah, I think we were all the same age, right? And it's my observation through, you know, what I've learned and experienced and all this stuff, that swinging tends to be a thing, and this isn't always the case, and of course things change, and it's different for everyone, but it seemed to be, that it tended to be the case, that swinging is something that a couple would get into after they've been together for a long time, or after they've already been through a few relationships they weren't too happy with. It seemed that it was kind of like a second revolution to somebody's life. Yeah. And in the case of this little younger group, the Breakfast Club of swinging, if you will. We were all kind of new to this. We hadn't been through a lot of the experiences that the other people had been in, and we kind of found this great group of people that we could have stuff in common with and explore and not feel a little bit out. Not that there's anything wrong with playing older people, and Lily and I have played with plenty of people that were...
Oh my God, and there's some silver foxes out there that are fucking hot.
And that's no problem. And that's all great and everything. But in this particular case, our first real time going to a swingers thing, we were just really lucky to find this group of people because we never found anything like this again in swinging.
We haven't
No.
There's something magical going on.
We kept in touch with everybody from that group pretty much until they got out of it or moved out of state.
Right. Yeah, we did.
And we still keep in contact.
We do. Thank goodness you are besties
So people that think that, like, non-monogamy is all about, like, fucking people and then, like, not talking to them again, one-night stands, clearly it's not. We've developed a relationship with these folks, and we still like them, even though we fuck them.
You know, and what's nice about this is because we know each other on so many levels, from not just sexual, but also in vanilla or a day-to-day sequence. So they will hang out,
come on family things with our children. Our children know you and like you and
The children don't know what's going on outside of that. We're just like the cool people that hang out.
And that's
like, this is the guy that gave me the train whistle.
I forgot about the train whistle.
You know, it's stuff like that. And I think a lot of times people do think swinging is just fuck and be done.
Yeah, and for some people that's a thing, right? And there may be a part of that is they're kind of fantasizing about cheating, but they're doing it in a way that they're not actually cheating. And I think that's a fully, you know, for, you know, good on people that's a thing that they want to do, and finding this is a solution where they can live that fantasy and not actually hurt anyone or lie to anyone.
Exactly.
But, you know, it seems that in our case, and in potentially your case, that it seemed to be a lot more about finding the right people that you can have a good time with in out of bed. You know, friends that you like enough that you want to stick things in them.
Lots of things.
Well, that's been the biggest problem for us, is we've tried to go out and meet new people, but just
awful trying to find people. But when you find those people, you hold on to it.
Exactly.
So true.
I guess we measure everybody against you guys. We measure everything against you guys, so that doesn't help.
We had so many toys that we played with this weekend. Holy shit!
Holy shit, guys.
Okay, so first off, they actually, Alicia and Paul introduced us to the Pure Romance. The French accent there. Pure Romance Calypso. So, Alicia, do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Well, so what it does is they designed it so that the vibrations actually work with the vibrations of water, which, of course, our bodies are made up of 98% water. So it works with the vibrations in our body and just gives you an absolutely incredible sensation. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple different types in this line, but the one that we were using, when you would insert, you can hit the G-spot with it really well.
Yep.
It's great on the clit. And what's fun is when like Paul is inside me and I have that hitting on the G-spot, he will vibrate to it as well. So you get extra vibration.
So you have Paul inside of you and the toy inside of you?
No.
The Paul is hitting the clit.
Oh, on the clit.
Outside. Oh,
okay. Yeah,
but it gives me a vibrating dick, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You're a little sex brain, if you understand. But yeah, I actually got a chance to try this toy, and I really enjoyed that sensation. Now, I did notice...
It did make some fluids move around.
Well, there's that, of course. But the bulb at the end that hits the G-spot, I did find a little cumbersome to get in, so I'm kind of curious working with it more as far as finding the right angle to get in. Mm-hmm. And it could be better if they, you know, change it so that bulb isn't so big, because the G-spot really isn't that big. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be that ginormous. You know, we like ginormous things.
Right.
So then...
I just took a toy to an eye, sorry.
Oh my god, we've had so many good quotes this weekend.
Well, you also haven't hit me with a toy lately. Everyone's supposed... Ah! Oh! Ah! Oh, shit! Okay. Careful what you wish for. Ow!
Yeah, this, what I'm holding is the Xenocat.
Today's beating implement is brought to you by, ow, Xenocat artifacts.
Thank you, Eerie. So this, which one is this one?
That would be the Kelpie.
Thank you. I was like, I can't remember.
I can tell by the way you hit me with it.
You can tell by the hitting.
Ow, ow, ow.
That is the Kelpie. Interesting. So, yeah, we didn't use this one, but we did have it sitting out to play with.
It watched. It was kind of like a voyeuristic sex toy.
It almost has an eye. It's kind of funny.
Oh my god, we are totally doing that for the video part.
You got this? Doesn't this turn you on? All right, talk about that one.
So, where's the box? Because I can't remember the goddamn name of this thing.
It's the duckbill. It's the duckbill platypus.
So, we have the... I'm holding in my hand.
The Voltra.
I need this thing.
It's the Voltra.
Voltra?
Made in Germany.
Precision engineering.
For nice. Your clit, yeah.
Anyway, so, when the
microphone is not a clit. We've covered this before.
I want to lick it. Just let me lick it. Let me lick it.
You buy it now.
So anyway, the Fun Factory Volita.
Oh wait, yeah, I'm wrong. Volita. I watched you with Voltron. Sorry.
Volita.
Volita.
That's probably how it's pronounced. Volita.
Volita.
I'll take that it.
Paul's taking over the podcast now.
Yeah. So it's this interesting little toy that has like a looks like a duck bill.
It does.
Flappy duck bill.
Yeah, the it goes.
You turn it on, it starts flapping its gums at you. It's like. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm glad you didn't tell me that before we started playing
with
it.
Next time you start using it, I'm going to go. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh my god! And then we have
the flappy
that.
Gum duck.
I quit.
Well, you take those little gum, the flappy. Gum and put them around your clit, and it's squirt worthy.
Squirt worthy. Yeah. Thank you for bringing us back on track.
And... Yes, thank you. We've divulged.
I do my best.
So we had that.
You divulged,
so it gave
all the
you
time.
A gum job. Is what
I love that gum job.
And you don't even have to wait for his teeth to fall out.
Oh!
So we'll probably knock him out with a sex toy.
Probably. That'll be a good dental visit.
What happened here? Oh, I just took a fucking cock to the mouth like you wouldn't believe.
You know, that's an interesting point because...
What? Eeyore... How does that bring up an interesting point?
No, hear me out. So, ER doctors, they get everything from guys zipping their penises to all sorts of things getting shoved up their asses. I wonder if there are dentists out there that ever come in with, like, problems because of sex toys.
Oh, I'm sure of it. For sure, at least, when you're doing pony play, do not use actual horse bits without covering it with something.
Yeah.
Because that will damage your teeth.
This safety note brought to you by Max. Or Sebastian when in Ponyhead Space.
Don't make me gum you.
So yeah, so the other thing that we used today was the Rock and Roll Tremor. I finally got another person to try this with me.
The Rock and Roll Tremor. It's called Tremor, the Rock and Roll Sex Toy.
Fuck you.
Let's go. Let's fuck on the podcast.
Okay. So we tried the Tremor, the Rock and Roll Sex Toy, which, as some of you have known out there, and I'll just reiterate, I did I can't remember what I was going to say by looking at you.
My guess is what Lily
you did
was
procure it.
My guess is what Lily was trying to say is that there is a video on YouTube of her trying to play a video game while using the sex toy, and it's a lot of fun.
Which you guys got to watch last night.
Yeah.
It did. It was fun.
And then Alicia. So, what'd you think?
It was amazing. Amazing. Screaming. Amazing.
So how was it compared to the Sibian that you broke?
It's got to be pretty similar, right?
Yeah, and you got to remember this is years apart. I mean, we're talking 6 years difference here between those two toys. I don't know.
That was funny.
It's hard to remember. This is probably better, but...
I think that the spring is probably a better insert. So
you
so for,
didn't break that
one. It would be hard to break the spring. And I personally like the spring. Have we even used it with the hard
No, I've only thing? Ever used it
so,
with the spring.
So for listeners that don't know, the Sibian-type saddle toys, they have like a little thing that vibrates on top of them and sometimes rotates. The rotating piece... The rotation is provided through one of two things. It's either like this plastic kind of like straw-like stick, or you can get a spring that goes in there. Now, the sticks, the straw sticks can break as the toy rotates around, but it's firmer. So like a lot of folks might prefer that, mm-hmm. Whereas the spring one won't break as easily. But personally, I mean, I've only used it with the spring, and I like mm-hmm. it because I don't like the idea of something that is hard and plastic rolling around inside of me as much as a spring that
yeah I feel like
meant.
The spring with the bending it feels a little bit
more real
mm-hmm. I that's exactly the word I was looking for. Thank you.
We work well together.
Yes we do in many more
well,
ways
if I can just figure
ways.
Out how to roll around inside you will be all set.
Got the motion with the ocean, dear. You've got it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any complaints about how anyone moves in this room.
No, I think we're all good on that front.
So we've pretty much covered all the toys and stuff that we play with. Is there anything else that we wanted to say about Swing? Because I do find it to be a very interesting thing and in how it's still kept kind of like separate from like the kink and BDSM world and how people like act very differently from there. But really, there's a lot of overlapping interests.
I'll say something.
Go ahead.
So when I entered this world, I considered myself, what's the term? Come on. When we have to talk about what we're
monogamy?
Saying. Bi-curious.
Yeah. Oh, bi-curious.
Bi-curious. Yes. I was bi-curious, but I wasn't really sure how I felt on the whole ordeal, but...
That's
but
right. Lily was one of your first experiences,
that's
right?
That's right. I was a little interested, but I wasn't really sure how...
Lily and the redhead.
And, yes. I will never forget when Lily climbed on top of me.
I've heard that sentence a lot.
She climbs on top of me and starts making out with me. And it wasn't long after that. Paul posted on our site, she kissed a girl and she liked it.
She kissed a girl and she liked it.
That is actually a good point, though, because I feel like that is... you know, in swinging, it's a lot of girls' first experiences or a time to explore in a kind of a safe environment mm-hmm. Bisexuality. For guys in swing, I do have to say it's a lot harder. You don't see it as much, but I think you're starting to see it a little bit more.
Yeah, it's probably coming with some of the younger crowd, too.
Absolutely, yeah. There's like the old guard that's going on, and some of that stuff felt a little bit like wife-swapping, almost. Like,
yeah.
The idea right. of like, you know, oh, here, I've got a hottie, let's trade, and whatever.
It's almost back to the days of the key parties.
Yeah. But none of us here in this room have played with anyone like that. You know, we've seen it, I guess, right? But
I've definitely seen it when we've gone to a party.
But that's dying out. This is like a whole new world.
Well, and for all of us in this room, too, it's important that we're part of it. We wouldn't, even with how comfortable we are in this room, Max and I wouldn't play and leave them in a completely different room. Like, we wouldn't separate.
Yeah.
That's not as much fun.
Well, right.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like,
it's so much more fun.
It's fun, but
it's
not
together.
As much fun as, like,
it's best to be together.
We're exploring together and having fun together.
Yeah. Some ways, I'm all about the numbers, right? Like, well, if one pussy's good, like two pussies like way better, you know?
And
like
if you get three, four, just throw them on in.
Yeah, just like bring more numbers.
Oh, there was nothing like that morning after that first night when there were eight of us in the room. And just to think about looking around and seeing all of those naked bodies and all of the things that they were doing throughout the room.
It was an orgy. It was amazing.
It was. Yeah. It was quite the high.
Because as we've covered before, it takes five to orgy.
Yes.
It was a hell of a first time.
You have a point there. I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It definitely takes five to orgy. So after that night, we had this whole discussion on the way home.
That night?
The next day on our drive home, we had this whole discussion about it.
Like, one is masturbating, right? That's pretty, you know,
self-explanatory. You can masturbate with more than one.
Well, that's true, but I'm just saying that, like, as far as we're talking about in the context of, like, what is an orgy? One is not an orgy. Nobody's going to say that one's an orgy.
This is true.
Yeah.
Two, you know, you're having sex with someone.
All right. You have a partner.
Three, that's like you have a partner and, like,
a menage a trois.
No, you know, it's a threesome. When you have four.
You actually have to have a partner when it's a threesome. My very first experience was with two guys.
Oh, right.
That. It, like, neither of them I would have considered a partner. One
but
was
I'm
a
saying
good
it's not an orgy.
Right.
I'm keep reading it back. It's not an orgy. And then when there's four people, like,
there
we
was
had
a partnership together.
Granted. Maybe between two guys?
No.
I'm kidding.
No. I was definitely the center of attention. This was before Paul.
All right, I like so this about her.
Four tends to be, you know, two couples or whatever. It doesn't necessarily need to be pairing off, like we said, but, like, you know, it's still, like, five, I think, is when you really get into, we're just throwing people at this, right? We're just, like, as many people as we can. There's no, like, it's like juggling, right? Like, like, odd numbers are easy to do, and then when you get to even numbers, they're really hard to do in a way. Like, and that's, it's like the same thing. When it's an even number, like, in sex stuff, you know, after a certain point, but five is, like, you know, let's, you know, you might as well be 600-700 when you get up to five. Like, that's so, you know, there's more cock than can go around, more vulva than can go around. You know, it's all good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I think four is the magic number for me.
Yeah.
So what got you guys interested in swinging?
Well, I had a little background there.
Yeah.
But only the one time.
Mm.
And
would you say that was, like, the thing that kind of brought this to a head for you? Or not to a head,
that
but
probably,
like,
is the thing that opened up the door for me to talk about it.
Okay.
Is probably what it was. Because I had, back in high school, had a girl that I was dating that we would fool around with another couple in the room. So there was always
a bit of that. Had some experience before.
So there was always a little bit like that exhibitionism kind of thing where I always thought that was kind of a turn on. And then, you know, there was another, like, relationship along the line that there was a little bit of that kind of stuff. It was more like, not with another couple, but, like, she just kind of sat there and watched things, and then that kind of just diverged into other stuff, which was fun. But so we started bringing some of that kind of stuff up, and
because I had already had, and I never had any problems telling him what, you know, our past.
But it kind of gave a green light to bring up, and I started with the, how would you feel about bringing in another guy, or, like, I wouldn't have had a problem with that, and that might be fun, and use that to kind of grease the skids, so to say, because you never know how she's going to react if you say, let's just bring in another chick.
Yeah,
that is true.
Well, and really, that was probably the best way to start, because I'm not sure I would have responded very well.
I probably researched it on the internet.
You and Max are so similar on that.
I spent a lot of time researching stuff on the internet.
And my first experience that was before Paul was, I was out with friends, one of the guys I had had sex with before, I was just hanging out with the two of them that evening. We went out to hitting the bars and that kind of thing, and all night they kind of just made some kind of comment about, hey, you want to have a threesome? And I thought they were kidding at first, but they kept talking about it. I'm
potentially like, they were kidding.
What did we get ourselves into?
I think legitimately they were kidding.
Yeah.
But throughout the night I was like, This could be fun. Like,
why not?
This could be a lot of fun. You know, you're only young once. Maybe I'll try this. And I legit called one of my good friends.
So like, no regrets,
should
right?
Should I do this? And she's like, oh, dude, you got to do it.
You got to do it.
That was a good friend. That was a very good friend.
You got to do it. So I did. And I remember the next morning, because we all crashed together in the bed afterwards, and we woke up the next morning and looked around, and my friend looked at me and he goes, "Where have you been all my life?" You're like, did this really just happen? This was amazing.
When it does first happen, it feels unreal, right? Like it's stuff that only happens in the movies. And yeah. I remember like that first experience with all of us, I'm like, wow, my worldview just changed, you know, because I'd seen like Eyes Wide Shut or something before that, and I was like, this will never happen. Nobody's just having fucking sex at orgies. Come on, really?
Yeah.
Now I know.
Definitely know. Now it does life exist. Is better.
And life is better with it.
It really is. I think the world, we'd have a much better place if everyone just let their guards down with this and just enjoy each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
And just be happier. I think.
Be happy, be safe, have sex.
I like that.
So let's do the define this. This is the section where we have our listeners pick a word off of Urban Dictionary that we don't know, a word or phrase, something to do sexual or something like that, and we don't know what it means, and we try to guess. In today's word...
We'll start out with... What was the one I chose?
Clam jam.
Actually, clam jam was brought to us by darkness.
Oh, darkness.
So clam jam... So I'm going to go crazy on a limb because I'm completely sex-brained right now and say it's
sorry.
When...
I wonder why.
Don't be sorry. It was amazing. So I'm going to say it's going to when you
really
get...
Sorry.
when you get two pussies together on top of one another and you're just kind of going at it and you both squirt and so it kind of makes the sticky jam.
Oh, all right.
That's where I'm going with that.
All right. I was going to say similar, but I'm going to pivot. But...
Do you want to let one of them go first? Or a second?
So I think we're right up with the idea of the clam to start with.
Yes, I mean, that it has to be.
Right. I mean, you're going back to the Family Guy bearded clam references with this.
Yes.
But I'm going to take it in a different way. I'm going to go with more your New Orleans influence with some music. And we're going to jam out, you know, smacking our fingers back and forth like a set of drumsticks on the clit.
I like it. I was going similar, where you've got two... And you're almost DJing.
So you have two clits and you're just doing that.
You got a little DJ spin going on.
I like that.
I'm so proud of you.
I think that's really excellent. I think that both Paul and I have done that this weekend.
I think you might have.
I think that's probably possible.
Yeah. I don't know if I drummed.
No, not the drumming, but I definitely spun some skin.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
What do you think?
Yeah, you.
Well, so originally, no, I wasn't going to look it up yet. I wasn't going to look it up yet. I don't have it up here or anything like that. I was originally going to go with, like, you know, a female-bodied individual that masturbated and there's, like, a jam left. But then I was like, okay, you did that. But then music, I was going to do music thing. But so I'm going to have to, I don't know, combine them. So here we go. We're going to take the two clams rubbing up together, as suggested by...
Maybe we need a double dong in the middle.
Yeah.
All right.
We could do that again.
But instead of a double dong, how about headphones or earbuds? And they're in... I don't know.
It just got weird.
Or it could be a sex toy that bounces the music.
There we go!
Yeah, a double dong that bounces the music. I'm sure this doesn't exist, but it should.
It should totally exist. Someone out there, create
LEDs
it, please.
LEDs on the inside that strobe into the beat.
Yeah.
Yes! Whoever it is out there, please create this toy. We need to try this.
The stereo dildo.
I love it.
The stildo.
Now I can't think of like a stiletto dildo.
You put over one that moves to stuff. I guess it's not music though.
No, it's not music.
It can go to music.
I swear I read somewhere about one that goes to music. So you can play music in the background and you've got the vibration to do
the
that.
The Dami we have, that one, and the other one will go to music as well.
Now it just needs to strobe like, you know, a little light show.
And you might need it to have two ends so that we could use it together.
I would love that.
All right, so let's look it up. Clam jam.
Why can't you guys look closer?
You're the ones who moved away.
That's right.
Oh, we are all wrong.
Holy shit.
We are all wrong. I did not know this. I feel like this is something that we should know. All right, it's a pretty short one. So, the definition of clam jam. It is the female version of cock block.
Different kind of jam.
Yeah, Beth moved in on Brian when Megan was trying to hit on him. It was a definite clam jam.
Oh,
We should totally know that.
Yeah, I feel like...
That's too bad.
We've used
what kind of friend is that?
A clip block? What have we said before? We've said something.
I've said O block.
O block?
It's like an orgasm block before.
Yeah, this is like every single one down here is female version of cock block. I never heard of this before.
I never would have thought that. We must all just be sex-brained right now. Yeah. So, yeah. Paul, you were telling us, what is the other one that you guys know of?
So a friend of ours has got the credit to this one. So, the sloppy turkey.
So, sloppy turkey.
See, we did an angry turkey before, and that was when you spank someone's ass so hard, it leaves, like, the little turkey in front of the hand. And so, if for bonus points, you can draw a little angry face on it, on somebody's butt.
So, I'm going to go a little step further and say the sloppy turkey is when you basically have... I'm going to go with one of our other suggestions for the angry turkey and say that... It's basically a guy's cock that's, you know, completely lubed up with a gliss or cum or something.
Yeah, all the goodies.
And it has, like, the balls going... Blah, 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 blah.
the other two are not guessing because they actually already know the definition of this. I'm actually going to go pretty simple with my guess. So I'm going to take the angry turkey, which is a hand print that you leave on someone's ass, and then you cum all over it.
So, are we close? Are we not close?
I would say you were not all that close.
Oh, no. What is it?
Do you remember? Or do I have to look it up?
You should just read it. I would not be able to do my friend justice.
Sloppy turkey. When a juice head burns his ball sack on a tanning bed after a sweaty workout and then proceeds to face fuck a bar slut, causing his bright red testicles to repeatedly slap her in the chin, much like the waddle of a turkey.
Oh, my God!
Can you say gobble gobble?
Holy shit!
After a strenuous workout, Dominic went to the nearest college town bar looking for a skanky bitch to give him a sloppy turkey. Wouldn't he be giving her a sloppy turkey,
sort of,
though?
Oh my God, that's fantastic. An owl. Can I just say owl? Because tanning bed, sunburn, owl. I mean, I've gotten sunburn on my boobs before, and that hurts plenty.
Yes, it does.
Oh my God. And can you imagine, like, you know, the fact that it heals after? Ow! Oh, ow.
Ball scabs. That's something you don't want to deal with.
Well, if they set their dick on fire, you know.
Do not set your dick on fire. We've covered this time and time again.
If people want to try.
No, don't set your dick on fire. All right, okay. Well, so we're going to shut this down before the cops do. thank you, Paul and Alicia, for coming on our show and being awesome swinging friends.
And we're going to miss you guys so much. Oh, yes. Thank you for having us. We will miss you, too.
Thank you, Paul and Alicia, for coming on the show and talking with us. It was a good time talking about swinging. We learned a lot. One other thing I'd like to say before we sign off, I did get to do a guest appearance on the KinkCast. They had me on their podcast to talk about pet and pony play. I had a lot of fun talking to them and it was really cool. Thank you for listening to the Trisexuals podcast. Remember to rate us on iTunes, tell your friends about the podcast, join us on Twitter, Instagram, and Telegram. Support us on Ko-fi if you'd like to have your special message read on the podcast. Links for all this are in the show notes.
I'm Lily Chameleon, the Swinging Sloppy Turkey.
And I'm Max, the Take It in the Mouth Like a Man. All right, now I should record.